God.
The County Commission is back from executive session. Next order of business is agenda requests review. Nikki?
We need to move forward on the procurement card policy. Can I schedule that for Monday for a discussion?
How much time do you think we need? 15 minutes or so just to review?
15 or 30.
It's Monday the 23rd.
There's time in the morning.
There has been policies written and we just need to review and then make a approval of. Yeah. So go ahead and set it up. But I think that 15 should be fine.
Okay.
Unless you want to do 30 and run something else in there with it.
No, I mean, just stack them up if you would.
Let me suggest this. If we're only going to get 15 minutes, get a copy and the three of us commit to reading this prior to. Thank you. And be prepared for that, because if in fact you don't like something, or I or Danny doesn't like something, we're going to be spending more time than 15 minutes. But if we read it ahead of time, that'll be helpful.
Okay.
Thank you.
John Suti would like to get before you with his counsel for the sewer department and have a roundtable discussion. There are several items. Approximately an hour.
I just did 55 minutes with him.
Well, I suppose he wants another hour then.
What all do we have to go through, John?
I have a list here.
Would you grab that microphone and just put it on the podium, because the other microphone stopped working. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. I'd emailed you. Gentlemen, each a copy of the proposed agenda, as well as Nikki. Basically, you know, in this separation process, we've got some of the things is moving forward, but there were some items that we were wishing to get some clarification on. Just in general discussion earlier, you know, we've talked about a couple of those items. For example, the vehicle title transfer. Another example would be how the county commission perceives the sewer district's role in the oversight of the incorporated areas projects. I know we talked about that during the budget process. There was a lot of information going around the table during that process, and we would like to have an outline or something that kind of outlines how the district would want us to interact with these incorporated areas in helping them through the process with their capital improvement projects, and to what degree that the commission would like the sewer district involved in that. The funding agreement issues, we've talked about some of them earlier this morning. I think a lot of that's just clarification, sit down around a table. And, there's one of those items on there that's already being taken care of between the attorneys. That was the Rosetta contract. They worked hard on it all yesterday afternoon. I think we're going to get that taken care of. So some of the things have been addressed. There was one issue about the Lake Boral Bull Shoals Lake. Some decisions the commission made about that project. The board wanted to speak with the commission a little bit on that. Just some general discussion more than anything.
Can we schedule that? And I'm talking to Nikki about this because we're an agenda request. But what I'm thinking is, can we schedule that for the afternoon in case we have to go into executive about anything on the contracts and things?
Well, I mean, part of it may be resolved today. I mean, we have an executive with the attorney today, so I saw two of those issues, the vehicle, which is what we gave that task to the attorney.
Yes.
And then the contract, I think the Rosetta item, mm-hmm. I think that was going to be resolved today. I assume it will be with the update we'll get.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday afternoon, it seemed like it was well on its way to being resolved.
Right. Point two and point four, Danny, that's fine if you wanted to put that in the afternoon. I'd almost like to see what we get through today versus having to schedule something. We may have, I mean, the number four, which is the oversight of the incorporated areas, we do need to have that discussion. No matter what the attorneys do, that
we're having some incorporated area representatives have come to us asking us what our involvement's going to be, and we really don't have an answer. I know we talked about some stuff there, and when I I left that day, I suggested that we have an outline because I want to be on the same sheet that the commission's on and the sewer board's on when we address these incorporated areas. The afternoon would be fine.
Well, I just thought you've got council wrote on this request, and what I thought is if we have council also, there may be something that can be worked out without going into a lot of detail when both of them sit and visit and we decide to do something on contract or something.
I think so there's no misunderstandings. We need to talk about how we're going to pass dollars through to the district so that, I mean, I know that I've shared with you what our hopes are here just a moment ago, but we need to define that. We are not going to handle your expenses over here. We're going to pass dollars through to you via check because we can't transfer it because you're no longer a county entity, and then that's going to be your obligation and responsibility to spend those funds in the way that our intergovernmental agreements match up. And
yeah, that's the way I understood it, you know, when we had our budget meeting, and I'd had some other information, so that's why I needed the clarification. I appreciate that.
So we're going to put it down for 30 minutes instead of an hour because two of the issues are already
It's going to take an hour.
Okay.
I can't imagine that it's not. There's so many questions that the board members have out there. Am I wrong, William?
No, I think you're right. All right. One of my concerns is the passing of the dollars to the incorporated areas, how it's going to work. Okay, our understanding was that they were going to bring it to the commission. And the way we looked at it, if they brought to the commission, or came to the commission with a project, not having the history of that project and what's going to go on with it, the experience with it, not knowing whether it will affect our utility or not affect it, or if we work with the incorporated areas, you know, it should make a lot of difference on our utility on how it works. Because, you know, you may have, you know, what they want to do, you may have something to do with our utility. So if we can work together with it, you know, before it goes to the commission, and then that way we know what's going on with it.
It's an hour, all right?
It's fine. But you want to do that in the afternoon while our attorneys are here?
Yes. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Community involvement activity discussion. That was. Go ahead.
That's something we still need to do.
Correct.
I've gone through your suggested list and burned it.
No. Something. I'm ready to meet when these guys want to meet. I am so ready. So.
I still believe it's a great thing. I believe we need to do it. We need to move forward on it. Do you guys want to chat about this next Thursday?
Just whenever.
I'm just asking. What?
I'm ready whenever.
Yeah, you know where my position will be, so you might as well chat about it whenever you guys want to.
Be somewhere to the left of me over here. Thursday. So that everyone knows what we're chatting about, what this really is just a more formal dividing up of serving as a liaison between various groups or organizations, many of which are statutory that one of us serve on, and then reporting back to the county commission in session regarding. There are a ton of things that happen, whether it be OCAC or University Extension or any of the other many that we have to serve on that are not really worthy of a full county commission discussion. They're just things that we could move forward on if we had a liaison that would represent when there's something major that comes up or a big expense, then of course the commission would be involved. And so it would be a dividing up of what those responsibilities and organizations are. I think that states it well. Next.
Do you have anything else that you'd like for next week? That's all the requests I have currently.
We probably have more after we get through some of our discussions.
Can somebody touch base with me, please?
Yeah. We'll probably want to put county board appointments back on. I know there's multiple boards that we have not addressed, and I know we have it on today, but there may be one or two that don't get addressed. So I would like to at least continue that until we get it. And I don't know
Yeah, Jillian has it right here, the complete list of who's open.
So. Well, because of the technical difficulties we had this morning and starting a half hour late, we're running a half hour late.
Yeah, and the 9:15 has been waiting 15, so. Why don't we just continue to put that on Monday?
Okay.
I can, if you stick me in for 5 minutes, give the commission a report on what happened at the 911 rally in Jeff City.
Okay.
And some follow-up information that I garnered through commissioners at the commissioners' meeting the following day. Thank you.
There will be... How do we want to approach this, gentlemen? Because there's going to be several things. Like you said, I think, Jim, before we get through all of our discussions today, there's going to be several things that need to be added to the agenda. Is what one commissioner going to request it and
what I'll do,
be emailed from
I'll email
the girls?
Just carbon all you guys and make sure if we decide to add something that everyone knows what we're adding. And I'll fill out paperwork. Hey, Nikki, would you make sure we get some blank agenda request forms for our... Would you just leave them here so that during our 10 o'clock or whenever Pat gets here, we can do that?
There's conversations with the Corps of Engineers right now about the KDOT project mm-hmm. that is supposed to be coming in.
Thank you.
Yesterday or today, those things will have to be addressed immediately when they get here, so you may want to put them on next week. So things like that I would want you to be aware of.
Sure.
So we'll just get the girls to send out an email. If there's anything like that that comes up that we don't want to...
We'll send a note and have her schedule it maybe for Monday if it comes up. So.
County board appointments.
I mean, my request is out of respect for the people here at the 9:15 because we're so far behind.
You have a 9 also.
We have a 9 o'clock here also?
That's me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you're the legal. Okay.
Let's move those.
Yeah. Nikki, just put these on Monday. We're just the county board appointments. We're not going to be able to.
Do we? They're having a park board meeting tonight.
Tonight?
Is this Thursday?
We haven't received
the agenda. No, they're not on the...
Okay, what does it say on there? I got a call yesterday.
It says fourth Thursday is what it's supposed to be.
Okay. But, I'm sorry then because I got a call from a person that sits on the park board that is either the chairperson or co-chair, and they told me that. So I guess there is some confusion there. I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out how I was going to make my schedule work with. Okay.
I think you ought to show up for it anyway.
I think you should too.
You boys want to add 60 more meetings to
it. I just want to get up some that I'm going to.
Gentlemen, our next order of business is commission, district's legal description. Donna Neely?
Yes, I got an estimate for a written legal description of the district changes for both the ambulance and the commission districts. That estimate is $1,535.09.
Say that number again.
$1,535.09.
Can you break that down into commission district and ambulance?
They don't have it broke down that way.
Is the Donna, can I ask you if the ambulance district, because I don't know exactly what all that is. I've seen the map and everything, but mm-hmm. we had a distinct area that was approved, like the high road, the railroad tracks, and all the things that the city of limits of Hollister, mm-hmm. all those things that made the commission part of it pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about the ambulance district. Is it?
It's going to the cost of this is the majority of the or not the majority, but the larger portion of this cost is to do the ambulance district legal description.
Okay.
Let me ask you one question, Donna.
Sure.
I don't think we've ever done this before it's only done every 10 years. That's the first question. Have we had situations where a legal description would have solved problems or sped up a response to any issues regarding this?
The only benefit of having a legal description is that it can be put into the minutes as a reference from somebody in the future going back. What we have, and we are maintaining it in our vault, is the actual map that you voted on. But in the minutes, it just says the map presented. So there's no evidence of what the changes were in the minutes, other than referring to a map that would have to be located in our vault.
Right.
And yes, we are maintaining it in the vault. But I think for historical purposes, if we have a legal description in the minutes, I think that's much more professional. That's the information that we're getting from other political subdivisions when they do annexations or when they do their redistricting. We are getting legal descriptions from them.
Is it possible that the ambulance district may want to pay partially for this? Is it possible you could ask them?
I can ask them. They don't do the redistricting.
Right.
But I can ask them.
But they are affected by it, so.
They certainly are.
That's a good question. I was fixing to ask it.
Yeah, I have to agree. If they want a legal description for their districts, I think that they certainly should pay for it.
Yeah, I think their price should be $1,530.
It might come up.
I'm joking. That was a random number, Don. Don't write that number down.
I'm not.
Okay.
Here's the deal. If we'd have chosen one of the other redistricting proposals that was presented, then we would have had to, because it went across country, went across fields, it went across one house that might have been in and one house that might have been out. But with the distinct lines that we chose, with the maps that we chose, and if you see anything on those maps that are different than what I see, I just see no need to spend the money of $1,000 for that. If something that you think would be complicated, but it is different than it was even 10 years ago. So, what do you think? You guys go.
I mean, I understand Donna's point, and maybe we fix the minutes that are more specific.
I just brought this to your attention.
You did.
It's just because the way that other political subdivisions handle their process,
right.
It seemed appropriate for us, but
I know that
if
it's
you
the
don't
way
desire.
That, I know the way that the city does that when they annex properties, absolutely. Do you know of any counties that provide legal descriptions for the
I haven't checked with
county
any
commission
counties.
Districts?
Yeah.
I, with the other commissioners, would be interested to know if the ambulance district would like to have a legal description.
Okay.
And then maybe we would share costs. So.
And I'm sorry, say that again.
Maybe we would share costs.
Okay. If you would like, I can try and get them to split this estimate. I do know they told me that the ambulance district would be harder to do.
Recorded them.
Okay, just letting you know, they said it would be harder to do the ambulance district because of the it's just all over the place.
Right.
So.
And they have what, 5 districts?
Yeah, I think it is.
If you gentlemen would like to do so, I think that we could read a description into the minutes of the way that it is now. It is so much simpler than it has been in 10 years ago as far as the redistricting. That we could read it into the minutes of how it is to give satisfaction to those citizens that.
And I don't know that anybody is dissatisfied.
Well, I mean, it gives them more direction as far as what.
Well, historically, all you have in the minutes is you approve map number whatever, A or B or whatever. So it doesn't really give a description of what your commission districts is. And I can just tell you, coming into office when I did, I had a hard time finding that information because one of the first things I did is start checking to make sure our district lines were correct. And so, but finding that information was difficult because it was a similar situation.
I wonder if the mapping department could provide us with a layman's term description of,
they could on the di-
of
on
the district. And that would answer what you're talking about.
You're talking about IT department?
Talking about Tim Houchins. Couldn't?
We'll just find out and then let us know, Donna.
Look.
So.
I don't believe Tim is interested in doing that. I believe he felt it should be done by a professional. He didn't want the responsibility.
I understand.
Okay. I would just say, let me know what the ambulance district, and then I'm not interested in spending very much money, but I'm in the mind thinking that there's some money that I wouldn't mind spending to have a legal description, but not very much. And so
okay.
That information would help me decide from my perspective. My
perspective. Get your answers for you.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Insurance claims procedures. Mr. Connell, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, gentlemen, today?
We're good.
I have a handout for you that I'll
get an extra microphone.
Cover with yes. you. I'll stay at the podium.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Lyndon Dixie, could we have you join us up here at perhaps this table?
I thought it would be appropriate, as we had discussed last week, I believe it was, with legal counsel and direction of things, but I wanted to come over and just clarify how claims are proceeded upon in the county for the workers' comp as well as the property and liability insurance, and hopefully to either smooth out or take some burden off of the commission that they may not need to be taking on themselves. And the example that I would be here, and first of all telling you guys, is that I've given you there a sheet of the communication sheet, which I provided Linda this morning, as well as Dixie has had for some time, and how to get to us. But as an example, I'll first address the property and liability claims and then address the workers' comp, so you guys could understand the flow, and then also a discussion can go from there. And if you guys like, we could write up then a procedure for it to then be brought back to the commission to vet and also to have legal review it if you so deemed. The first of all, on property and liability, in the event.
Just give me a second. Randy, just for your edification, we're running 15, 20 minutes behind, if you'll tell the guys. And then we'll get to you when. Thank you. Appreciate it. Sorry, Tim.
That's all right. In regards to a property and liability claim, the way the claims have been flowing in the past in working with Dixie is I include those together, the property and liability, because of the fact that usually comes from one carrier, so you want to keep them together and the people corresponding. Basically, any department that has a property or liability claim reports it to Dixie. Then Dixie reports it on to our offices, of which we then pass it on to the carrier as well. In Dixie's absence, what I would like to see is designated who is the backup. Instead of, I don't think there's any designation of that right now. And Linda and I talked, and I believe that she would like to be in that position of handling that as well as the workers' comp. It would simplify it, and it would make it to where other departments, including the commission's office, is not involved with that unless needed. From that standpoint, then, when a claim, if it be paid or denied, we could set up regular meetings to happen with the commission or with Linda's office to bring to you guys information about where the claims are at on a periodic basis. That way you guys are aware of them. That way you know what is going on. When the claims are reported also, let me jump back. When they're reported to my office, Becky Cummings, who's listed on there, handles the property and liability claims. She sits next door to me. I also get a weekly report of all activity on all claims that I work with on my accounts on a regular basis. So any time that discussion needs to happen on that, it can happen. But then I think the commission would only need to be made aware of it, say, on a monthly or quarterly basis, so they're aware of what's going on. Moving on from there into the workers' comp claims, and then I'll come back for questions at the end, when a claimant happens on a workers' comp. The claim form is filled out with Dixie. Dixie then files that, in that case, most of the time, direct with the carrier as well as with us. That's just for the expediency of the claim because we're under statute with the division on reporting claims in a timely fashion to the division as well as to the carriers. Once that happens, then, if a claim, as we ran into recently, may be denied, then that person needs to be directed not to come to the commission but to come back to Dixie in order for the process to flow back to me again if I need to go to bat or doing anything on any of these claims before legal is brought into it. I don't see in the future any need for legal usually to be brought into any situation from the county on workers' comp claims. The reason for that is you actually have legal counsel in those that either accepts or denies. It's by state statute, so there's no arguing about it. If they hire legal counsel, the company will provide legal counsel on defense of the county. So I just wanted to get that process out there to you guys, and then if you so deemed me today to write it up, then I will write it up for you, then have it brought back for you guys on your approval. Does that make sense a little bit?
Absolutely makes sense to me. I mean, it should help the process.
Absolutely.
I mean, the one of the concerns I think I experienced was not knowing what's going on claim-wise. And I think if we can do a periodic update through a regular process, if it's monthly, it's wonderful, just so we know what's taking place and make sure that we're all on the same page. I think this all kind of came from a claim that was, I think you were almost the last one to find out or something like that.
And exactly.
It just seemed like the process took a whole lot longer than it really needed to.
Yeah, and once it met my door, it was resolved in 24 hours
right.
or less.
So the problem is it was the 30 days it took before it got there, and that's where I think we can communicate better with a regular reporting. I think that this will all make things better.
Mm-hmm. That's all we're out to do is to make the process flow better for your business here at the county.
I have a question.
Go right ahead.
The word liability doesn't come through us. Is that going to be a problem?
Well, that's why I wanted some direction about that. Usually when you have a liability claim, what needs to happen, and we're happy to copy your attorney involved with it as well, but the thing is I would prefer that it come through one person designated to get to us as quickly as possible, to get it on to the carrier, and then if there is a denial or there's any question of anything, then that can be bounced back to legal as well as that person that turns in the claim.
Who is it, Don, who handles liability? Who does liability right now? How does that flow? I mean, that's part of the problem we have.
That's exactly it.
Is it possible to flow through Dixie just so you could be the receiver of documents and then disseminate them?
I don't know if it needs to come through us or Jillian. I don't know how it all goes about. I mean, if something happens at the jail, I never hear about it.
So let me just run this. Let's say one of our vehicles gets vandalized. That would be a liability claim, correct?
It'd be a physical damage. But if they say run off the road with it and hit somebody.
Okay, I get that one.
Yeah, you would get. I'm trying to think what
it's the what, Dixie?
It's the jail.
Well, yeah, the jail and lawsuits and stuff like that. Does that fall into liability?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know anything about that.
See, and all we need is to be identified as who's going to handle it.
It has to get to legal eventually.
Mm-hmm. So liability would go to the legal department?
We need a point person.
Correct.
You wouldn't have a problem with Dixie being the workers' comp and our legal department being liability.
Okay. I have no problems however you want to set it up. my examples that I see in other municipals, whether it be city, county, whatever tax district, is they have one person that right. coordinates it all. Legal is copied, but legal is not involved usually until there is a situation of a denial or a suit has actually been filed. They still leave it with one point person to turn it all in and coordinate it.
Linda?
It makes no difference to me, but I can assure you that as soon as our county is involved in any type of potential litigation, our attorney is going to be
sure,
involved.
Sure, and by all means. But all I'm saying for the paper flow and the coordination of things to process quickly and efficiently and not bring the commission into things that they don't need to be
right.
involved on the day-to-day, and it can flow without them, by having this proactive stance of it, we can do that.
I prefer to stay in the office. Just Linda, I'm just wondering if Linda could not be the point for that. And then
take it to the
then and just
attorney.
You communicate with us so often about everything else. My concern, if it goes to the commission, there's room for it to slow down. If it goes to a point person in that department, there's not been any slowing.
And that's what's been going on.
Right. And so we've got to speed up that process. And I'm
correct.
Thinking Linda would be at least a good point person for the liability side, because you can, with your years of experience, you can pretty much figure out this is right. going to be litigation. Let's get this to this department.
Sure.
But because you communicate with us so often anyway, guys, what do you think?
Yes, sounds good.
Sounds good that way? Okay.
Okay, well, what I'll do then is work with Linda and get a process back to you guys so then you are aware of how it flows. Then once you guys agree that that's what you desire, then we'll work with Linda as well in getting it out to the various department heads and elected officials to make sure they're aware of how the process flows.
Great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, ladies.
All right.
Do you have any other questions? Well, no?
Along the lines of work comp, we need to come up with a plan to expedite that as well. Sometimes it's 2 or 3 days before Dixie ever hears about it. And I know...
From an employee perspective?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
From an employee perspective, and I know that...
Tim?
Hey, Tim, can you come back to the microphone?
The longer that goes before she can fill out a first report of injury and get to our work comp, the more that affects our rates for next year.
Right. That shouldn't happen.
Her comment is we need to have a better in-house practices regarding
workers' comp
from our employees through Dixie or whomever is the point person here. And my thinking was that Tim works with so many different agencies, he may already know something in place that would be extremely helpful to us, or policies that would...
We've actually put these on here at the county before, bringing in the elected officials and going over it. So we'll be happy to do it again.
So we all could work with...
Yeah, let's do that again, because it's obviously it's not working as good as it can.
No, it's not.
Is that a policy, or is that a statutory requirement, or a workman's comp statute, or something that tells us that they have to turn in a... claim within a certain amount of hours?
48 hours per statute.
48 hours per statute. And I know that this happens Friday afternoon accident. Monday morning gets by and they don't turn something in. We've had this in the past at the county where there was problems with this timing issue. I can think of 2 or 3 road and bridge incidents that took place. So I guess maybe a refresher update on that and maybe some tough, hard stance mm-hmm. on if you don't get it turned in for such and such a time, you're going to be on your own.
Automatically denied? Is that something like that? How does that
can be. And we're happy to be the third party that tells that instead of the HR department.
You know, but, I mean, so we've got to get the participation in, right. And if it's a combination of education and a new policy, and then
I think it's education more than anything, and some people just test it.
Well, and where I've seen more of the issue, Danny, because the claims, you guys have done a very good job over the last few years of curbing claims on the work comp, but where I'm also seeing the problem is on the backside. If a claim is denied and the claimant feels it should be paid, they're not to come to the commission to discuss it. They're to go back to HR to discuss it, and then we go back to the carrier with them.
And because we had Dixie with so many hats on under the, that's the reason I want it to be known that that's the reason we created this HR department that is such value to all the county employees. That department is for everybody in the county, and sometimes it's misunderstood exactly what all these ladies do and how much they do as far as what the process is. Just exactly, you're here talking about one issue that they have to cover.
That's right.
And so, as you can see, we've added on three or four responsibilities to you this morning. So I just wanted to make that statement, if we're going out across the air and a lot of county employees listen to that, that they understand why this department was created, and it's their department.
Right.
Great.
Is there anything else?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Roden Ridge people are in the hallway. If they can come on in.
Max, was there something you were here for today?
I was under the impression that the commission was going to act upon the reappointment of board members for my organization today. It's my understanding that you decided last Monday that that would, or that it would be dealt with today.
And we've already put that off for board members. I wasn't aware that there were board members that we had not appointed to
the SB 40. I didn't know.
The SB 40 board.
There was a confusion on my part. I'll take the responsibility for it. It's a last spring, I guess it was, I gave you the names of the wrong people, and you reappointed three members whose terms are already in place.
That's right.
And we came into the end of 2011 with members whose terms expired and no one stepping forward to nominate themselves, and our request and recommendation from our board is just to reappoint those three people who had already been appointed 3 years ago to serve another term.
Let me ask, did we not do that?
I thought we did too, but
I think we came back and did that, Max.
I didn't get anything, any confirmation of it. My communication with Jillian was that hadn't been resolved.
Okay. I thought that we pulled up who, in fact, terms were up and that we applied your recommendation to those individuals and, in fact, made those appointments, but
I'm sure we did. I'm sure we did. I don't know that there hadn't been a little breakdown of communication.
Max, we will check that. We don't even have them scheduled to look at for today during the board appointments that we were going to look at. So we will add that and your comments for today. We've rescheduled this, I think, for next Monday. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, it just, I think, because I think you were, you didn't have any other names that were submitted, just the three that were going to be reappointed.
Lynn, right. Can you help us follow up on that as well?
I just thought we'd, I thought, once we heard back, like the next meeting we had, we took care of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But would he have didn't been hear great. From us, is what he said.
Hope
right.
we did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We will. We will get back with you.
I appreciate it.
Thank
and
you,
Lynn. Will you help me remember that so that I
have three more or just no, the three that we appointed?
Just those three. Just
I'm
three.
Sure we did that.
Yeah, but if we'll take care of it formally. If we don't find it, we'll formally take care of it Monday.
Yeah.
But
okay.
We just didn't even have it listed. So
we actually, I'm telling you, we went back and voted on
this. I thought we did so.
Thank you, Max. Thanks. We'll follow
Thank
up.
You.
Gentlemen, you want to come up front and join us?
David, you can move that microphone to the table here. That's right. We have a chair being repaired, so you have to do a folding.
Together. Short of chair?
Here.
He's okay.
Devin might fall.
I pulled up the email I sent you. It's all.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at the date. You have the time in and time out.
If we knew what date.
Oh, you don't have a motion.
Max sent that in because it happened to within a month.
Yeah.
Here's the posting.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
Sorry we're running behind. We started off this morning without our system broadcasting, so they got that repaired, and we're not too far off. Randy, you want to begin?
I give you a few topics there I want to go over. The first one, this lady that lives on Coon Creek where we've done the intersection improvements, she's got an issue. We've got a lot of people pulling off of the road in this area, and she wants us to try to do something to kind of help prevent that. She's asked for probably the last several months, and I keep forgetting to bring it to your attention, but we took a couple of pictures of it to kind of show you there where they're pulling off.
Are they just pulling off there and parking?
They're pulling off and parking at times, and she tries to keep that mowed, and she keeps that looking fairly nice.
Mm-hmm. Is that right of way?
It's right of way. Our right of way probably goes 6, 8, 10 feet off the edge of the road there, whatever, but and then narrows down as it gets closer to her house. But
let me speak.
She does keep that mowed and looking real nice.
Let me speak on that issue. The property that she allowed us to have there was the consideration. One of the considerations that she stated was that it's not happened.
Yeah.
And Randy dealt with her. She was very worried about the way that the curve goes and everything, about people pulling off into her yard and messing it. They keep that yard mowed and everything. So it's my recommendation that we fix it under some curbing or something there, Randy.
Well, I had a couple of different thoughts. She was wanting something like guardrail or guardrail cable, which that really I don't think applies in that. That's more of a safety type thing. I thought we could either put some type of fiberglass cones, you see them at intersections, markers identifying a curb edge, or like you said, we could do curbing just in that stretch there.
What about a simple no parking sign? No, doesn't work?
Well,
Ron, when they make that swing on that corner, they, especially at night, they run all the way off you can see there, they're 4 or 5 feet over in there. It's very obvious when you go by that location that they're off into her yard, and that when she gave us the property and worked with us I met with her personally. Randy was out there 2 or 3 yeah. times. This was very much a concern of hers, and I think that we need to either put curb up there. I know it's a...
I mean, because of the property that she gave the county, this is a huge improvement over what was there.
That improved that tremendously. So,
in a way that would be the most aesthetically pleasing to the property owner.
The curbing would help with the rutting issue off the edge of the pavement. That's, and we have that same problem on the BB end also. They're off tracking, and that might be something we need to look at possibly doing on that
end. Do we have a set of curb forms, or do we contract that out?
No, we've got curb forms. I mean, that's something we can do in-house.
We can do that in-house, I'd say, and it gives you another, that'll give them another 18 inches or, well, are they a foot or 18 inches wide on the curb?
They're 18 inches or 2 foot. We can make either
one. Let's make it 2 foot wide.
That's 2 foot. We can go 2 foot. That's more common.
But is that 2 foot more you're taking off on where she mows or on the road that already exists?
It's really a shoulder. So really
well, that's a shoulder. I mean, it would take off what she mows, but she'll be able to mow right up to the back of the curb. I think she'll be happy with something that'll prevent this problem. So.
Okay.
I'd say that if you guys are in approval of it, let's just put curb around in both locations. Over on the other side, on the Coon Creek side, it's not as bad as this, but they cut across 2 or 3 feet on that corner there.
What, Randy, do you think it needs to be both sides? Or?
Well, this, just on this one side, the other has a ditch to prevent people from pulling off or pulling into the old access. And on the BB side, that pretty much natural drains. It's a wide shoulder. And they're just, it's bigger vehicles, and just naturally they're going to cut the corners, and it's constantly keeping potholing and road roughed up there. So yeah,
if you guys think you need to do it, just, I would just do it. Then.
Well, let's consider something else here before we get started, and I guess it's on this same subject. In 2013 or 2014, we have a situation with the bridge over here at Forsyth. We also have a situation with a bridge there at Coon Creek where it's along the lakefront down there. That bridge is going to have to be repaired one of these days. That road needs to be set up to a standard where it can, I know we did minimal, but it needs to be set up to a standard where we can actually move more traffic on it, because it's the only access that there is to get into Branson from Forsyth, unless you go around by F Highway or all the way around the back roads. So we're going to have to maybe before we do something, let's kind of think about all that.
The plan, I mean, you're talking about building more capacity for that road then?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's just going to be a matter of fact that we're going to run into it's a heavy, heavy used road. I don't have a traffic count on it, but Randy, you probably got some records on it, but it's more and more all the time.
We have traffic counts on it. I mean, it's heavily used. Okay.
What I'm saying is do you think, I'm in favor of putting the curb in, but do you think that's the end of the problem? I think that it's solution to part of the problem.
But you're talking about because of the increased traffic, because of the bridge construction, rehab, and we don't know when the rehab is going to be yet?
No.
Okay, they kind of pushed it back.
They keep pushing it back. They're looking at other options to keep from closing, because I know that closing this bridge down here is going to be a tremendous impact.
Oh, my.
So they're still looking at it. I mean, studying.
I mean,
I'm open to it.
I just don't know when the timing of that is. I mean, I'm open to a design look, but I would like. I'd feel better if I knew a timeline of what they're going to do with the bridge.
Right.
What you're talking about is just doing some of the improvements we have talked about that we just never paid for. We just never did.
We never did.
Right.
We never did. When we had the other bridge discussion that went downtown there, we had all kinds of discussion about Coon Creek Road, and we went in there and put an asphalt surface on it and did this intersection.
And it stopped.
It stopped.
Yeah.
There were several things that Randy had of concern.
The road has several issues, the way it leans in different areas. The low water structure needs to be upgraded. I mean, there's some minor issues. We're going to work on a couple of them. We've got a ditch line on the other end that's eroding that we're going to have to do some work on before it affects the roadway. But there's some major.
Do we need to look at a plan? Do we need to look at?
I mean, I
long-term solution.
Maybe you pull some old documents that we had on the conversation, see what we were talking about. I mean, but I think the low water structure is probably that was one of those things that was the most expensive part of it because of location and elevation. It was just going to be expensive, if I'm not mistaken.
The east-west corridor, the reason we quit talking about it is because the east-west corridor came into conversation, and we decided if that road was going to be used less if the east-west went in, then we kind of shifted away from our focus on this road. And whenever it didn't happen, now we had we've got issues with the turn lane. A lot of this stuff here that she's talking about is people turning. I mean, I've seen them turn, and they slide all the way over.
They must turn there faster than I do.
Yeah. Well, Ron, whenever we put when we put big trucks right on the other side, over on the Coon Creek side, there's bread trucks, all those longer axle vehicles.
Does your school bus go through there?
Yeah. So there's some things to be considered here. What I'm saying is, I guess what got me into this conversation after talking about it is I would love to approve the gutter, but is there something more that we should do before we put the gutter in? I mean, the gutter.
The curbing's not going to cost that much, right?
No.
I would be just say, let's get that done and then evaluate the whole road itself.
And we'll break it off. We'll just break it out there then.
Yeah, it's a small investment to fix a bigger problem. So. Right.
If he was the liaison for this department, he could just
handle it.
He could just take care of it.
Yeah. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, you could have said, "Yeah, put the curb on both sides, 2 foot wide, call it good."
Yeah.
That's right. We can do it this way.
Next item, we have employees that have a hazmat endorsement on their CDL licensing, and a couple of them are coming up for renewal, and it does cost these employees, I think, around $200, if I'm not mistaken, to renew this every so often. And we found out this gentleman talked to a guy that worked with MoDOT that said that it wasn't required for them. So I checked in. I called Troop D and talked with a gentleman up there, which in turn conferred with people at Jeff City. And because we don't sell this product that we use, hazmat is not required on our CDL. It is for all the vendors that bring it in and transport it in, but for us, the way we use it, hazmat's not required on our CDLs for us to run our oil distributors. That's what they're telling me.
Well, I just go back to a little history. We paid people extra money to do this because of what the state had sent down to us. And we actually, I don't know the amount, but I do know that we went through a process and had several people that went and got their hazmat. Yeah. Now they're saying that we don't even need it.
Right. Even at the time when I had them, the type of material we used was on their chart. We placarded their vehicles and all that, and they did apply at that time. But now you don't even find that product on that chart. So I don't know if they changed some of the ruling or just what had happened. But that's what I found out. So before we do anything, I want to bring that to you guys.
Are the people that you're asking about that it's due now?
Yeah, one of them is due at the end of this month. So.
Is it? Are they people that use it, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
The $200, and we've already got it, had them go through to pay for it. I'm saying go ahead and pay the $200 and let them keep it. We're paying them extra salary for it. Those boys went through a lot of extra stuff.
I mean, they've got to go through background check, fingerprint, all that.
What do you think? Donald, you was here during all that.
Well, the ones that got them got more money whether they shot oil or not. All year long. Mm-hmm. At one time, we paid the oil men 50 cents an hour. We paid them so much more just when they were shooting oil.
Mm-hmm.
We also did that for the men that run the paint truck.
Right.
And we quit that, so the paint truck completely lost theirs, whereas anybody that got any of them that got hazmat got the extra money.
Well,
as long as they kept the license up, but that was for keeping the license up.
How many do we have in the county that's got the hazmat?
I don't really have a number right now. I know I used to keep one, but I let mine go back because I wasn't using it, so I didn't see the need of it. But.
You think
got
you got one?
One for sure, and the other one's got a tanker, but no hazmat.
I've probably got at least 5 or 6.
Okay, and that's for the chip and seal guys, really, isn't it? Don't you have about 2 or 3 different people that drive the oil tankers?
Yeah, I've got 3 different ones that drive.
In case one of them's
and
gone or something?
A couple more that got hazmat.
In case?
Just as an advancement.
Yeah. So get us a number on the number of people that's got hazmat. I mean, this is one of those state
deals. If they let it drop, they're going to lose their extra money, are they not?
That's.
How many are we talking? How many people?
Probably less than 12, but I can get you a total number that have the hazmat endorsement.
You weren't here during that process, Jim.
No. But if we gave them more money to get the hazmat,
right,
and to continue the hazmat certification, we need to upgrade. If we paid them to do it, obviously we felt the need to do it. So I would say that I don't know why we wouldn't just pay them to continue, because that's a value to the county.
Right.
Even though we don't need it right now, we don't know what we may need.
This may change.
I would do it. I mean, it helps them. It's a continuing education thing. It's investing in our employees. I think it's one of those things I would just rather. I mean, if you recommend it,
I'd hate to see them drop
that.
The endorsement. I mean, if we're helping them pay for it, because it doesn't limit them to find a better job sometime in the future if that arises, and they may need this endorsement. So, not that we want to lose people, but
well, I don't want to help that, then kill all those.
I mean, it's hard to acquire that.
No, I think it's a continuing education where we're investing in our employees. I think it's one of those things, guys. Commissioners, I would support.
Yeah,
paying for it.
I am too. I just wanted to know the number.
Yeah,
you know. And another thing is, the people that's got those have to have the Class A.
No, you can have a Class B or Class A and have hazmat.
And go ahead and have it.
Right.
Okay.
Now, one of the requirements for any tank truck, water truck, oil distributor, they must have that tanker endorsement to be legal to run these trucks. So they got to keep that. And that's an easy endorsement to acquire. But
okay.
All right.
Just get us a number on it. I don't think we're going to approve it anyway. Who knows what the state might do, or the Environmental Protection Agency might do.
So you're fine with moving forward with it?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's something just for your gentleman's review, and look that over. We can talk about this in the near
future. Let's get this other deal. We are going to go ahead and do the curb and guttering. You guys, we're all with that.
Okay.
So
is this something that Linda Sorensen worked out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I just wanted you guys to review that first and make any changes we can. I've got another item as far as we do have three or four people that are basically on call for sewer work in case of emergency or whatever. That's something that we probably need to have a meeting on, find out how do we want to reimburse our guys, what procedure as far as that. So,
from a reimbursement, I mean, we allocated money, I believe, to receive transfer money. I think you put some money in your budget, if I'm not mistaken, John, that we would receive transfer money, and we budgeted, I want to say, $18,000 to $25,000, something like that.
Yeah, it's not going to be transfers, though.
Well,
it'd be we may have put it down that way, but we need to consider.
We put it as a transfer.
We won't have funds
to transfer. Right, they'll have to write a check to GCR,
yes.
And GCR will pay it through
the way we've done this in the past is this is a utility expense.
Mm-hmm.
And these gentlemen have been on call for us when we have an emergency occur, and they've done a very great job of doing that and taking care of us. In order to compensate those gentlemen for having to be at home,
right,
and which impacts their life, they can't really travel or go do anything because when it's their weekend. This started a few years back. I don't necessarily know how many years back, but they were being compensated, I believe, $40,
yeah,
or $20, something. I think maybe it's $40.
Started off as 20 and went to 40.
Yeah, to be there, to be at that house in case we need that person,
right,
to rally the troops when we need them at any time, 24 hours a day. And so we have it in our utility budget, mm-hmm, in order to pay for that expense. There was money in there for that. And in the separation agreement that we've entered into, that we're going to continue that relationship.
Right. What we have to do is Road and Bridge needs to bill sewer department, invoice sewer department, and they'll write a check, and and then that will go into the Road and Bridge fund, and then we'll pay the appropriate salaries out of that.
Right.
So it's just an invoice, I think we have to, if you want to work with our auditor or accounts payable or... We just need to create an invoice, or your ladies in your office, your admin staff, could create the invoice. I mean, is that what the question is? How do we pass money now?
What happened was that I believe Randy's people had submitted that, and somehow that was paid out of the GCR based on her old way of doing business.
Right.
And then this question came up. Eddie Coxey got involved in it and spoke with Randy, and is trying to find a resolution to this and how do we move forward.
Okay.
That would have been my suggestion, is they just bill us what that expense
is monthly.
And
that's what we need to do. Right.
And we've got them a check.
Yeah.
You get, Danny, Ron,
that's
you agree? Just
that's the way just need to.
We'll just write it. We'll just do an invoice, because it's not transfers because they're not part of the county anymore, but we can submit an invoice, and you guys will pay the invoice. So.
Okay.
Don, does that make sense back there?
Yeah.
No. Would you say it again?
$40. Each employee is paid $40 to hold that pager or whatever it is. Well, the problem was is at the beginning of the year, they had been holding it, but they want to reimburse the county. I didn't get it out of the check. But it doesn't matter.
So they're just going to write a check to Road and Bridge because that's who pays their salary, right?
But we didn't pay the employee.
We need to be paying the employee.
What do we take it out?
Yeah, if it's Road and Bridge employees, it'd be Road and Bridge. Mm. Randy, I mean, that's what I would do, is pay a lot of Road and Bridge salaries.
And that's fine. We just didn't know where to take it out of, so we kind of, everybody said stop, so we just did.
I would say it's Road and Bridge employees pay out of Road and Bridge, because that's who's carrying the pagers.
Yeah. And then sewer, when they write that check, it was reimbursed. So we probably need to pay those employees.
Yes.
Next pay period, whatever.
Yes, and as long as, I guess, if you would keep track of that and then help Kathy or Deb to do the invoice.
The guys that's on call, they put that right on their timesheet or what.
Okay, I mean, we just need to make sure we're invoicing proper to get reimbursed.
Right, okay.
I can send her a bill if you want monthly.
Yeah.
I did that quarterly, before. But
whatever's best for you, Don, from a process, as long as we invoice them. Yeah, invoice them, and they'll come, and it'll come back into Road and Bridge, and come out of Road and Bridge.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
Don. So, I think we've done with that subject. Ron.
Yes.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
I think that was something else.
We're going off for bid for culverts, and I'm working with Ron Erickson on this. Hopefully we can get locked in on our culverts rather than every time we need a few culverts, we phone bid and get a price, get them culverts, and then 2 months later, if we need, we go through the process. We're going for a full blown bid to try to get locked in at a price per foot, and then order culverts, because I think it's kind of leveled out where we might possibly get them to lock in for a year. We're going to see anyway.
Okay.
The other thing I need to purchase chainsaws, a couple for each shop. We're going to bid that out and do that. But
excellent.
so get them some
tools.
What
do we do with the old ones? Are they worth anything? Do we sell them in the auction?
We're going to, the old ones, that's not worth repairing or whatever. We're going to sell them at auction or whatever. People can buy them for parts or whatever.
There's a few pretty hard, that, so they probably aren't worth much.
Some of them, we got a few old ones that probably need to upgrade. So.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anyway. The other thing, I talked to you a few months ago about this road, and I did pull the plats on it and tried to look for staking to see if there's enough room when they subdivided, and it's Birmingham Road. They've got a new subdivision that lays all on the east and south side of that road as it goes down through there, but I really need to survey that side of the road to find out where a right-of-way actually is. I can't find enough indication there to see what we can do as far as improvements without having to acquire right-of-way. So,
don't you think that's just wisdom for us to do that, to make sure we know what we're operating with then?
Right. There's a few trees and some blind corners we can improve a little bit on. I don't want to make a big project, but I do want to make them corners a little safer as we get time to do that. But I really need to know where them new corners and right away is.
It's a state statute, I think, that it's 30 foot.
Can I also throw a suggestion of another road that needs to be surveyed to right away?
Okay.
It's out off of 86 in the Oakmont area. It is, I know you guys know the road here. I'll give you the name. It's off of, remember there was a subdivision that wanted us to take in a covered entryway into a subdivision?
Friend Road.
Friend Road.
Yeah.
There's, I guess, evidently a lot of signage going up at that intersection that's either developers or something that's permanent signs. And two residents have contacted me and says, I think they're in the county right-of-way. Can we just double-check? I mean, if it's not in the right-of-way, obviously we have no authority, but they're saying it's real close to the road. I don't know if it's a safety. I don't think it's a safety issue, but they think it may be it. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
That's
if you just
double check
that, I told my
intersection.
Bring it up.
Okay. Yeah, we'll find out.
You know,
we're not the ones putting them up. You say they're just set of signs.
There's some permit signs for developers putting them up, which they have every right to do if it's on their property. I just don't want it done in the easements because it's permanent.
So. Yeah. If on this Birmingham or any other road, you might look up the state statute. I think it's 30-foot easement. I think it's 15 foot from the center of the road. We've run into this in the past, and we've had to apply it. So I don't, I'm not exactly sure the exact amount. I think it's 30 feet, and it's from the 15 feet from the center of the road.
Okay.
Do what? Do you think it's 35, maybe? Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'd run into that before, but I couldn't remember. But some of those situations that you're looking at for survey, if the road's been there for 100 years,
right?
And you go and we've got an asphalt surface and we've got a center line out there, if the center over, you can use that then. Not have to go through the expense of a survey.
Okay. All right.
And Pat will get you an email on it.
Okay,
I have one thing. If I could just bring up, you and I have exchanged some emails,
right,
about Illinois. Illinois is off of Shady. Is that right?
Right.
There's a whole lot of history with that road. Just so everyone understands, because I think we have a resident maybe saying, you said something, I said something, you said something, and then a mysterious somebody said something. I have no intention of paving that area unless you guys see otherwise, but I've talked to you guys about it, and I don't see we should spend money on paving that section of road. I think you guys have done some improvements, which has fixed best we can the gravel road.
Right. We've took care of the problem that was arising there as far as people getting hung up and stuck. And
I
took care of that issue, and that's all we've done.
I don't see the good use of money there. So.
Okay.
Just so you know.
That's all I got with these guys.
The new email system we got, are we going to have some type of a phone to where we can keep up with that? Because when we leave the shop of the morning, a lot of times we're not there till quit in time. And
I've sent some emails to Mark in the IT group. Of course, we just lost one of our tenured employees or good employees, so I think we're a little short-handed right now. But what do you have and don't you have? I know you had a Gmail account, which didn't make sense because you should be on the county email system.
They're set up now on a county email
Perfect.
System.
So. Phone-wise, you have a phone. You guys have phones there, but you have no way to communicate basically. You have a flip phone.
Yeah, what they need is...
He needs...
Yeah.
How many do we need?
We need him. What would we need? One, two, three, four, five.
I need about at least seven, right?
What I would suggest is they get with Nikki, but this is their budget. We've got money in the budget for this, and we need to get you guys to be accessible and check emails because, I mean, don't you agree, Danny? I mean, you need to be able to I think we want to install one permanently at Mr. Sottle's house, too, to make sure we can wake him up in the middle of the night.
Who's got that? Is that Nikki, or who takes care of that?
Okay.
That's all you've got. I'm just going to ask for a resource if we're just talking to each other.
He had one thing he wanted to bring up on the F Highway. He forgot it last time.
David did? David?
David.
Dave, did you have an issue regarding F Highway?
Yeah, I have one electric meter out there at the salt shed that I'm going to, if it's okay. We don't use electric up there anymore. Get the meter taken out where we're not paying the minimum charge.
Sounds good.
Great.
Yeah.
Very.
That's the only thing I've got.
Go ahead. Liz, let me ask you something. Mm-hmm. Is it underground where the meter goes?
No.
Or it's overhead?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Is there any interference at all, or is there a possibility of ever hooking it? Like we had at the other location at the Mount Branson deal, we took the overhead down because of equipment. If it does, just have them take it back to the transformer and roll the wire up and do away with
it. We can. Like I say, it's right there close at the back of this building. It's by the fence, so it wouldn't be a deal to bring it back ever any time.
All right.
Thank you, guys. You good? Nothing?
Nothing.
Really?
You get a little slack.
If you guys will allow, I'd like to go into executive and then go ahead and take a recess.
Okay.
Motion to go into executive pursuant 610.021.12312.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsections 1, 2, 3, and 12. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Jim aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. Let's stand in recess, gentlemen, for just 5 minutes if that